南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无观世音菩萨，南无观世音菩萨，南无观世音菩萨，南无阿弥陀佛，南无阿弥陀佛，南无阿弥陀佛，南无弥勒佛，南无弥勒佛，南无弥勒佛，南无普贤菩萨，南无普贤菩萨，南无普贤菩萨，南无地藏王菩萨，南无地藏王菩萨，南无地藏王菩萨，南无佛菩萨，南无佛菩萨，南无佛菩萨，阿拉汉萨玛萨布多巴嘎瓦，布当巴嘎万当阿比瓦帝咪。娑迦多巴嘎瓦达达摩。Dhammang Namasami Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can visit it. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book, right? We shall chant from the Vandana onward. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchachara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musawada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadattana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapa dithena dipena tamadang sina diloka dikam sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambarayutena dupena sugang hina pujayaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajanamuttamang. Vanna ganda gunupetang 一当古苏玛三他丁不吉亚亚弥摩尼达斯悉里巴达萨罗罗嘿不吉米不当古苏米那尼那本尼那玛帝那遮诃图摩康不邦米拉雅蒂雅塔伊当米卡哟塔塔雅蒂维纳萨巴王阿迪瓦塞托诺班提巴尼扬巴里卡皮潘阿努康邦乌巴达雅巴蒂干哈图穆特曼Adivase tuno bante Pale parika pitang Anu kampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutemang Adivase tuno bante Bojanang parika pitangAnu kampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind.And help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense.May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma,so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya,leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power, sharing and transferring merits to all beings.May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Triple Gem.Buddhang Pujami.Dhammang pujami Sanghang pujami Okay, you all can be seated. Then we will have half an hour of silent awareness meditation. I will set the alarm. OK。Just relax body and mind, yeah? And maintain awareness. That's what you need to do. Just relax, maintain awareness. Don't try to know. Don't try to arise any thought at all. Let the mind settle down. This is the fastest way to meditate. Then just relax into everything that arises. Maintain awareness for as long as you can. Until the mind becomes very quiet, very still. When your mundane mind becomes very quiet and very still, you can realize your true mind. To meditate is to develop the silent mind to understand what is going on within your own form and mind, so that you understand clearly who are you, what are you, what is this form and mind all about? Why did the Buddha call it the five aggregates of form and mind, the two aspects? You will come to understand them clearly. Then there is another nature within that is beyond the form and mind. That is the nature you must understand. Then your delusion all will be gone. Then you can come to a clear understanding that you are neither the body nor the mind. The five aggregate of form and mind are dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena within the conditioned world. That one is not real, not you. That one is a causal phenomena. Dependent on condition, it arises. When condition ceases to be, it ceases. Then when it ceases, without thought, you have to inquire deep, who are you? What are you? Without thought, what is that nature? You cannot talk about it. You cannot name it. You cannot give it anything, because it is just that nature within. But there is an awareness within that can be aware of everything that arises from there. That's why the Dhamma is very unique, very beautiful. Okay, I will just let you do your own meditation. Just relax, maintain awareness, and let everything settle down. Then with the awareness within, find out, investigate, develop the clear understanding. When you are in the form of meditation, don't try to know, just maintain awareness. The awareness will awaken, the awareness will understand. Just go through it. Then you will see how a lot of things that you can be aware of, everything that arises within your form and mind, you can understand. Then when you come to understand through the direct seeing, through the direct witnessing with your true mind or your self-awareness within, and that is the one that really understand. Okay, I will now stop the instruction, then you can meditate on your own. You can slowly, mindfully, come out with a meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness or awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Yeah? And carry this state into your daily life. Okay, turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Munirajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadam Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Sata deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opadayiko Pachatang Veditabhu Vinohiti Supatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Samichipatipano Bhagavato Savaka Sango Yadidam Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakeneyo Anjali Karaneyo Anutarang punya ketang lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect Triple Gem. Bedang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay. be seated. Just relax body and mind, then we will continue from where we stop. Eh? We are at page 590. Eh? I think you put it over there. Yeah? Put it over there. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Mm. Because to read, I think I need this table. Otherwise, on there, I cannot. So let us turn to page 590. Yeah? Bodhisattva who fulfills all these household duties, Chattari Sila, becomes truly a refined gentleman in the strictest sense of the term. So all those Sigalovada Sutta that explain how relationship should be developed, they are actually your right duties. These are your various right duties when you become a human being or a living being. You play different roles. As a spouse, you have your duty, whether you are the wife or the husband. Then as an employer, you also have your duties. Then as a slave or as a worker or staff under employment, you also have your duties. Then as children, you also have your duties. As parents, you also have your duties. Then you have duties even towards your relatives, your friends, your colleagues, and all those things. So these are very important right duty. So from this right duty, you will develop the appropriate way to live life, then you can really go by it. It's mentioned here, a bodhisattva who fulfill all these household duties, Charita Sila, becomes truly a refined gentleman. Of course, it refers to ladies too, or lady, in the strictest sense of the term. Apart from these obligatory duties, he endeavors his best to observe the other rules relating to Varita Sila, means the morality part, means the keeping of precepts, and thus lead an ideal Buddhist life. So to be a true Buddhist, these are the duties that you must have. Then you follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil through keeping your precepts. Then cultivating wholesomeness, the ennoblest of precepts. Then purify your mind. That's the reason why I always share with you all. To be worthy of the Buddha means to be a true Buddhist. You need to at least follow his advice. If you can't even follow his advice, then how can you call yourself a Buddhist? Yeah. So to be worthy of him, of his teaching, you have to understand what he teach. Then at least follow his advice, where his advice will lead to transformation in you. Your life, your character, your personality, they will change for the better when you follow his advice. But it will keep you in line with Dhamma. Then you will live life the righteous way. The Dhamma way is the righteous way, way of truth, way of wisdom, way of understanding. Then I read on. As life is precious to all, and as no man has the right to take away the life of another, he extends his compassion and loving kindness towards every living being, even to the tiniest creature that crawls at his feet, and refrain from killing or causing injury or harm to any living creature. So the first precept is very important. You have to really have that understanding. Each and every life, they have life. No matter how small that creature is, how minute that living being is or living thing is, you need to try your best to refrain or abstain from killing or causing harm to them. It is the animal instinct in man that prompts him to mercilessly kill the weak and feast on their flesh, whether to appease one's appetite or as a pastime. It is not justifiable to kill or cause a helpless animal to be killed by any method, whether cruel or humane. And if it is wrong to kill an animal, what must be said of slaying human beings, however noble the motive may be at first sight appear? So these are explaining to you why you should not kill and arise that negativity of mind state, because they have coming consequence. Page 591. Furthermore, a bodhisattva abstains from all form of stealing, direct or indirect, and thus develop honesty, trustworthiness, and uprightness. So these are all the virtues that a cultivator should develop, especially if you go the bodhisattva way. Abstaining from misconduct which debases the exalted nature of man, he tries to be pure and chaste in his sex life. He avoids false speech, harsh speech, slander, and frivolous speech, and utters only words which are true, sweet, peaceable, means bring about harmony, and helpful. The other word missing is appropriate, gentle, and pleasant speeches. Appropriate, gentle, and pleasant, good speeches. He avoids intoxicant like liquor or alcohol, which tends to mental distraction and confusion, and cultivates heedfulness and clarity of mind and vision. So this part is very important. So avoiding intoxicant. This one, the intoxicant can make you very, very weak. It can cause your consciousness to be affected. Well, intoxicant has an effect on your brain. Then when you are drunk, you lapse into unconscious moment very often. Then you become like not yourself. Oh, chân phải vậy đi. A bodhisattva would adhere to these five principles, which tends to control deeds and words, whether against his own interests or not. On a proper occasion, he will sacrifice not only possession and wealth, but life itself for the sake of his principle. So this is about keeping precepts. And we already gone through why we need to keep precepts. Because precepts are major evils. When you break them, it constitute major evil karma, evil consequence. So you have to keep them. Junpa, that one I will pay for you. I will go with mom. Don't worry, just leave it there. Thanks. It should not be understood that a bodhisattva is perfect in his dealing in the course of his wandering in samsara. Being a worldling, he possesses his own failing and limitation. Certain jataka story, like the Kanavira Jataka number 318, depict him as a very desperate highway robber. This, however, is the exception rather than the rules. So this part I have to explain a bit. When you are a bodhisattva walking this bodhisattva way, or cultivating this bodhisattva way, it doesn't mean that you will be perfect human being. It doesn't mean that you will have all the precepts, everything in you, especially in the initial years. Certain life when you come, if there is no condition and your perfection has not reached the level of understanding, and you don't know how to determine with those vows and aspirations like what I have taught you, to have this right view, right understanding, life after life, whenever you come. So before you connect, before you develop the meditation, you are still a worldling, no different from any other living beings. The only difference is you have a slightly better karmic nature. Then you may have some form of perfection. The spiritual nature may be developed to a certain extent. That's all. That is your advantage. But apart from that, before you connect, you are like a normal willing living being. You can still break your precept initially because you don't know what this thing is. That's why in the early day when I was young, I did kill mosquito. So certain of this you will still commit, but before you understand the Dhamma. But later on, as you inherit the Dhamma, develop the understanding, all this you cannot do automatic. Then as a puttajana or a worldling, even the Buddha, before he become enlightened underneath the Bodhi tree, even that very last life, you look at his cultivation. For 6 years, he undergo all the various type of practices. He went through a lot of ascetic practices. He even go for self-mortification. Then he tried all sorts of other meditation that other people taught him. But finally, when the condition become favorable, he just know what to do, and he will connect underneath the Bodhi tree to become a Sammasambuddha as predicted by Dipankara Buddha. Well, these are all the various special vows and perfection that his nature has developed, and when they fulfill the condition to become Sammasambuddha, it will manifest, and a Sammasambuddha has that ability to see, can make the prediction for him. That's why he received the prediction long before he become a Sammasambuddha. When he met Dipankara Buddha many, many lifetimes before he become the Sammasambuddha, he has already received the prediction. And he was even told by Dipankara Buddha when he will become a Sammasambuddha, under what word system and under what name and all those things. He will be born in a Sakyan family and all those things. So this is how bodhisattva cultivation is. So for this particular case, the book explained it differently. He said one of the lives in the Jataka story, they depict him as a very desperate highway robber. It was because that life, he still not connected yet. Then there is this karmic thing that he has to go through. That's why he will go through that. And sometimes they will choose to experience all the 31 planes of existence. They will go down to the woeful line and experience hell, experience the animal birth, the hell beings, and also the demon rhymes. The hungry ghost rhyme, all those things, if there is condition, they will also go through, so that they have the understanding. But most of the time, they will be born as either devas, brahmas, or humans. The last life, before they become samasambuddha, most of the time, and very often, they will take birth as human beings. But before that, it is a tradition for most of these bodhisattva to take birth in the Tusita rhyme, Tusita heaven. That Deva rhyme is a very unique rhyme. So all these are written or shared in the scripture by the Buddha. So as civilization evolve and change, thing may also change. That every samasambuddha is unique, is different, so it need not be the same. So all this you will learn as you go along the cultivation and practice. Then the other thing which I think the author of this book didn't understand is this karmic nature and the spiritual nature, they have their uniqueness. If you have reached a stage of cultivation where your spiritual nature and karmic nature are so beautiful, so wonderful, every life you come, you know how to make use of your understanding, especially Adhitana, Adhitan, the perfection of Adhitana. Then you know how to make your aspiration, your vow, all the affirmation for causes and conditions when you arise. And you will also know how to choose when to come, how to come, come in what form. And that one, you can have control. You can have a lot of choice or decision. That's why I use the word, you can choose to come. You remember? You either have to come through the law of karma, or if you are a real great bodhisattva, you can choose to come. And you can choose to come during different era, different civilization. You can choose the appropriate timing, condition, under what circumstances, civilization, everything. Like this life, my nature, the choice is already made with great understanding. Because when after my nature connect, I reflected, then I saw so beautiful, everything was prepared for my coming, my disformed mind. It chooses its parent, and this parent of mine, they have good DNA, very good DNA. Then also because they have done a lot of very good thing out to my nature, towards my nature, without knowing who I am, what I am. That's why the best way to help them is to make that pure wish, to deliver them. And the best way to do it is to become my parents. Because these are people who will do their duties very well. That's why they do their duties very well. And because of what they have done towards my nature, the pure wish when this nature deliver is very powerful. Their future are all taken care of. So this is how. Then after that, I reflected back. Then I realized I come after the Second World War. Second World War was 1939-1940, I came about 15 years later, 1954. So during that time, because of my parents, my karma, they will come out of China. And they come over to Malaysia. Then our education system was good. We inherited the British colonial education system. And I was the only child out of the 9 that my parents gave birth to go to an English school. And they choose the best English school in Canada. Everything is like meant to be. All of my other brothers and sisters, they went to Chinese school of my hometown, which is quite a small school. But my English school was the best in the whole Canada, the whole state, where all the royalty also attended school. All the professional, famous people's family child, they actually went to that school. And my dad's school actually produced 2 prime ministers, Tengku Abdul Rahman and Mahathir. Then a lot of ministers too. Then a lot of them become very famous leaders too. That's why that school is very famous in Alostar. Sultan Abdul Hamid College, SAHC. Then after that, very funny. How I grew up, how I become what I am, how I developed the ability to study and all those things. Then how I excel in my academic field and how I know what I want to do. Then how, when I grew up, all this understanding, when the time come, it just come. Then the book come, the teacher come, the guide come, everything come. Initially, it's the book, the Four Noble Truths come. It just come like that. And people who might not know, the teacher, the guide, and those who are supposed to guide me and allow me to develop the understanding of the teaching that I need to understand, they will just appear and it just unfold. And when the time come, everything fall into place. Like very lucky, my life, very blessed. Then even my marriage, everything also meant to be. Then how I end up, what I am today, my career, everything is like, everything is already pre-planned. But this is not predestination, no. It's not predestined. It's because you know the Dhamma, that nature has this perfection, this understanding. That's why you can choose to come. You can have all this understanding to bring about such favorable condition to manifest. That's the reason why when you have the Dhamma, the true Dhamma, your life becomes very wonderful, very beautiful, and everything just falls into place. So this is a part that the author doesn't understand, because he hasn't gone through maybe, and he may not have the ability to understand. So this is a part where I can let you understand and share with you where my nature has gone through. That's why as a Bodhisattva, you have this ability. So just have faith, sincerity, and persevere and do. Then all this understanding will unfold and you will become beautiful. Life after life, you will become more and more beautiful. Then you can be a true blessing to all. Then after that, you will continue to grow. You will never fall back again. Especially this window, this asana. You follow the Bodhisattva vow I teach you. And you determine, persevere with the faith and the understanding, be sincere. All this will pave the way for your future coming to be taken care of. And your nature will become very beautiful. Okay? So this part, bear in mind, listen to it, that you need to write down some notes and make affirmation, determination. It will help you. Well, this type of sharing is very rare. This type of teaching is very rare. And this window, the sasana, where the teaching are still around, the consciousness are very favorable. Make use of it. Okay, so we go back to that page. Page 591. Down there is a verse. One who to save a limb rich treasures gave, would sacrifice a limb his life to save. Yea, wealth, limb, life, and all away would fling, right, and exclaim alone, remembering. So this is about sacrifice. Eh? As a bodhisattva, when there is appropriate condition, he will know how to sacrifice even his own limbs, life, everything. Yeah. But before you have the ability, the understanding, please don't be a hero. don't go and tell me, oh, Brother Teo say, as a bodhisattva, we must sacrifice, we must do this. If you go and simply do things like that, don't blame me. Blame your own delusion. When you are not ready, not with that level of understanding, please wait. Wait for the timing. A lot of these things, you will come to understand if you cultivate sincerely. Okay, next page, 592. The great importance attached by an aspirant to Buddhahood, to morality, is evident from the Sila Vimamsa Jataka, number 362, where the Bodhisattva say, apart from virtue, wisdom has no worth. You understand this sentence or not? Yeah? Apart from virtue, wisdom has no worth. See, virtue is the final outcome of wisdom. When you really have the wisdom, true virtue will surface. And because of that, when you don't have wisdom, there is no true virtue. That's why apart from true virtue, wisdom has no worth. Because if you cultivate so-called wisdom, then you don't develop that type of pure virtue. Means that is not the wisdom taught by the Buddha. Do you understand? When you really have the true wisdom, that virtue will surface. That's why everything is about virtue actually. Without wisdom, there is no real virtue. That's what this sentence means. Then in praise of virtue or sila or morality, the foundation of all higher virtue, Venerable Buddha Gosa writes in the Visuddhimagga. This one is another book, Seven Stages of Purification, Visuddhimagga. Path to Purification. They have Sata Visuddhi, the seven stages of purification. What sense else blows with and against the wind? What staircase lead like her to heaven's gate? What door into Nibbana's city opens? The sage, whose virtue is his ornament, outshines the pomp and pierce of jewel kings. In virtuous men, virtue destroys self-blame, begetting joy and praise. Thus should be known the sum of all the discourses on the power of virtue, roots of merits, slayer of fault. That's why ultimately is virtue. After you develop all the wisdom, your virtue will surface. Otherwise, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. You will have right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. That's how you have virtue. Everything is perfect in accordance with nature's law. So these are your virtue. Virtue is without evil. Is with all the wholesomeness, beautiful virtue, beautiful qualities, where you really can be a true blessing to all of humanity and mankind. Okay, we finish that part on sila. Now the next one is Nikkhama. Nikkhama is renunciation. Renunciation. Still keener is the enthusiasm a bodhisattva exhibits towards Nikkhama, renunciation. For by nature he is a lovable of solitude. Nikkhama implies both renunciation of worldly pleasure by adopting an ascetic life and the temporary inhibition of hindrance, nivarana, by jhana ecstasy. This one is not correct. So this one you have to be careful. This one is what the author, they all, maybe through their own understanding, they must have followed Visuddhi Marga. As I explained, renunciation or Nikkhama is not only to renounce and become monk. The true meaning of renunciation is you must be able to renounce all things. And becoming an ascetic or a monk is just one of them. Then it is not just what they describe here. It implies both renunciation of worldly pleasure by adopting the ascetic life, means you give up the worldly life, and the temporary inhibition of hindrance. So they thought when they cultivate jhanas, they will suppress the mental hindrance. So when the mental hindrance is suppressed, they thought it is a type of inhibition, temporarily like prevent it from arising. But it's actually suppression. It cannot arise because you suppress it through the jhanas, energy field. And as long as it is still suppressed, you cannot develop the wisdom because you don't know whether you have developed the wisdom or not. When it's suppressed, you cannot root it out. So when there is condition, it will surface again. That's why you need wisdom to root it out. A bodhisattva is neither selfish nor self-possessive, but is selfless in his activity. He is ever ready to sacrifice his happiness for the sake of others. Though he may sit in the lap of luxury, immersed in a worldly pleasure, he may comprehend their transitionariness, means is impermanent, and the value of renunciation. So this part is the author's description. The actual renunciation is you can have, you can own, but you understand that these are not what living being think, because this is a conditioned world. When condition is there for things to arise, it will arise. Then it's as if you can own them, you can have them, like good food. Got condition, you can eat. It doesn't mean that you have to renounce all things, give up all things. But for those who choose to go the holy life or the renunciation type of life, to be a renunciate or to be a cultivator, to be a monk, that is also their choice, one form of renunciation. But finally, you not only have to renounce the worldly things. Well, when you become a monk, when you renounce the world to become a monk, means you renounce all your possession, your so-called loved ones, whoever you have relationship, you renounce them all. That's why they give you a new name. You have a Dhamma name. Then it's like you no longer attached to all these worldly things. That is supposed to be the ultimate understanding. So they renounce the world to become a monk. So that is one form of renunciation. But the actual renunciation is a lot wider, the scope. When you truly want to end all suffering, means you cannot attach, you cannot cling to anything. So you have to renounce everything. That's why you have to perfect the perfection of renunciation. When you can renounce all things, means you fulfill your second vow as a bodhisattva. You vow to endure and severe all suffering. How to severe all suffering unless you can renounce all things? True or not? Suffering arises through what? Craving, born of delusion or ignorance, that condition you to grasp, cling, hold and own. As long as you cannot renounce the world, renounce all things, you will be entangled. You will be caught in dukkha. Because you will cling, you will grasp, you will attach. You want to own things, have things. There is craving to own, to possess, to have. So all this is part and parcel of this famous, what they call, perfection, which we call renunciation. Okay. We continue. Realizing thus the vanity of fleeting material pleasure, he voluntarily take his earthly possession and donning the simple ascetic garb, tries to lead the holy life in all its purity. Here he practices the higher morality to such an extent that he becomes practically selfless in all his action. No inducement, whether fame, wealth, honor or worldly gain, could induce him to become anything contrary to his principle. Means principle as a monk. Sometimes the first grey hair, as in the case of Makadeva Jataka, is alone a sufficient call to a bodhisattva to abandon the uncongenial atmosphere of the palace for the independent solitary life of a hermit. At times a few drop or a withered leaf may induce him to adopt the ascetic life. This one depends on the cultivator's condition and parami. As a rule, however, the practice of renunciation is not observed by a bodhisattva. This one is according to author. Actually, you have to cultivate nikama, renunciation. In the Kusa Jataka number 531, for instance, the bodhisattva was subject to much humiliation owing to his unrestrained desire to win the hand of a beautiful princess called Pabavati. Again, in Darimukha Jataka, it is mentioned that a Pacheka Buddha, Kundam, friends of the bodhisattva, approached him and said, "Pleasure of sense are but moras and mind. The triple roots, Teradam, I call. Vapor and dust, I have proclaimed them. Sir, become a brother and forsake them all." He promptly replied, "Infatuated, bound and deeply stained am I, Brahmin. With pleasure, fearful they may be, but I love life and cannot them deny. Good work I undertake continually. In the period of Buddha's cycle, a bodhisattva would adopt the life of an ascetic and lead the holy celibate life in solitude. If born in the Buddha cycle, he would lead the life of a bhikkhu in strict accordance with the rules that pertains hereto. An ideal bhikkhu who lives an exemplary life is a blessing to himself and others. He teaches both by example and by precept. Within, he is pure. Without, he purifies. He is very strenuous in working for his inner spiritual development, catering at the same time, for the spiritual need of those lesser brethren and sister. He is not the typical English. He is no burden to society because he gives no trouble to anyone. He is like the bee that extracts honey from the flower without damaging it. He possesses no property, for he has renounced everything worldly. His needs are few, and contentment is his wealth. He repents not for the past, nor is he worried about the future. He lives in the present, free from all responsibility and trammels of the world. He is ready to wander wherever he chooses for the good and happiness of others, without clinging to any abbot. Under all vicissitudes of life, he maintains a balanced mind. His free services are always at the disposal of others. Non-Buddhist ascetics are invariably called Parabhajakas, Ajivakas, Sannyasin, etc. Bhikkhu, Sanskrit means Bhikkhu, has now become exclusively Buddhistic. Means the Buddhists are called Bhikkhu or Bhikkhu. The rules laid down by the Bhikkhu do not permit him to beg anything from another. He may accept the four requisites, robes, arms, lodging, and medicine presented to him. If in need of any requisite, he is allowed to ask it from his parent, close relative, or from professed supporter. So if you want to become monk, remember this. Otherwise, you're very miserable. When you sick, you cannot ask. But here, the Buddha allows from your parent, close relative, or from professed supporter. So for this one, do you know Weixian? I reminded him before he went to Wat Machap. I say, remember, if you need any support, like medicine or whatever, or certain thing that you cannot have over there, or you are not able to get over there, remember, come to us. We have the Kayamita Fund. We can help him when he needs certain things. So that is one of the way to make them more favorable in their condition to cultivate the true renunciate life. Because for him, he is still young, so no problem. Do you know what will happen as they get older? As a monk, you realize a lot, most of them get older, they need a lot of support, unless you are famous or you have a lot of support. Otherwise, not easy. You have seen on the WhatsApp among the Buddhist group and Buddhist community, a lot of them who suddenly fall sick, then they need support and all those things. Recently, somebody, I think through Sui An, I think, one of the Dharma friends, I think, through Sui An, wrote to me, asked whether we can help support one monk who recently, I think, undergo chemotherapy. Then they need support for food, certain type of food, which are not cheap. I think it's a health supplement or food where he can take only after the chemo, where other food may not be suitable. Well, that one seems to be very suitable, but it's not cheap. That's why they need to ask for support and all those things. So we donated through our Kayamita Fund so that you all can rejoice. We actually donated 600, able to buy about at least 10 can of that type of food. It says one day he need one can, because one can give 4 portion. They can actually make 4 portion for him to drink. So at least it can sustain him for 10 over days. But they got all other supports too, so no problem. So you all can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Also that day, Miss Lee mentioned, I think, one of his teachers, Tu Sun, what you call Tu Sun? Tu Xun. What? Grand Disciple. Hey, no, Grand Disciple is the Lao one. Grand Disciple is the smaller one. Oh, grandson. Not grandfather. Grand Disciple is down there. He's trying to raise some money to build a temple in Sramban. Later on, we will share with you. So, Suyan is still somewhere in a retreat. I don't know where. So he said he will do it when he come back. I said, no hurry. So I told Sister Lee, our Akik, that we will donate 2,000 to support them. Because that temple actually is a simple temple, I think. I don't know whether there is a shop lot or what. I didn't really check, but maybe got some land. But quite cheap, you know. The total cost is only 1 million. With all the layout, with the hall, everything, and with also the Buddha Ime, Buddha Rupang, the what, altar table, and the one, the bronze style thing where you put your incense and all those things. Then the flooring. I think not much of furnishing. I think furnishing is quite basic. If you go to Wu Ping Jing, so I think it's more or less that style. I think very plain and very basic. But they have flooring and all those things. But it's not as big as Wu Ping Jing. So it seems they have raised some money, but still short. So I told her, I said, no problem. Wherever there is wholesomeness or good appropriate condition, then normally I will check whether that particular thing is appropriate or not, because Kayamita entrusts me with the money. So we cannot simply donate if it's not really for proper purpose and all those things. But the food one is different. The food one is we donate the food. That's why it's nothing to do with the teaching. That one is food. Out of love and compassion, if got condition, I say no problem. But when it comes to Dhamma and all those things, we have to be careful. But building temple is okay. As long as it's from the lineage of Po and Chang Lao, I think should be okay. Not a problem. So you can also rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. This year we have more conditions, because our Kayanamanita fund has more money. We accumulated quite a bit. So we can do a lot of wholesomeness. And because of that, I think the condition came. We also donate quite a lot to so that one also, they have their annual katina, then they also print Dhamma books, and do other very charitable things too. Okay, we continue a bit more. We finish this page. A bhikkhu is not bound to lifelong vow. Of his own accord, he enters the order in order to lead the holy life until he chooses to leave it. Once he donned the yellow robe, the emblem of Arahant. He is bound to observe the rules that pertains thereto, means the monk's precept. And the Theravada tradition for monks is 227. But if it's a nun, it's 300 plus. To lead a life of perfect purity and selfless service, to control and purify the mind with ease, to see things as they truly are, to think rightly and deeply, to develop the higher nature of man, to appreciate fully the higher spiritual value. No other mode of life affords such facility and such great opportunity as the life of a bhikkhu. A bhikkhu may lead either a contemplative or a studious life. The former is more in harmony with the ideal of a bhikkhu, for the ultimate object in donning the yellow robe, the emblem of sanctity and humility, is to eradicate passion and realize nibbana. So this one completes the section on renunciation. The next one is panya, wisdom. Okay, before we go into wisdom, we maybe open up for discussion. Do you have any question? So that I can sit back up there. Do you all have any question? Oh, I see here better. You all can see me. Yeah, last time I sit somewhere in the middle, you all can't see me. Some over that side can't see me. Here, nobody. Okay, anybody got any question? Or anything you want to add? Yun Chan already back in there. But I think today she's still maybe tired or busy. And last week, I think because she got to go to Wat Machap, also I think not much was discussed. So she texted me, but no need short notes. Oh, I said, okay, no need short notes. That's why we don't have any short notes for Tuesday class, last Tuesday. Today, Tammy not around. The mic is here free for you all. Otherwise, everybody look for Tammy. yeah, Alicia, Sadhu.
Hello?
推上去.
Hey, where are you?
Yeah.
Remember Sunday, 我问你.
Yeah. 对，那个禅定的 大悲咒
Then after that after 我们 在无名行舍做 meditation
Yeah.
Then after that after 我们 finish 了那个 meditation 我不是在听 brother 就在念那个 那个 six patriarchs
Yeah,六祖
Then
六祖坛经
Then suddenly 我的肚子 grew 一声
Yeah
Then 我 aware now 它只是 grew 了一声 Then 就没有字的 没有 perception的
没有什么 That's why the awareness is aware of it has no word
Then after that 又有一个 sensation 在我的耳朵那边 Then after that 又没有字的我
That's why you have the ability because you know how to be aware. When you know how to be aware, all those things will happen. It's like the direct seeing, the pure seeing, everything. It's without word. But this one happens only certain time when you are cultivating. You don't expect whole day like that. Then how to live like you become crazy. Drive car also don't want to recognize anything. Cannot. That is delusion. What he is describing is just that stability of mindfulness, the awareness, the ability to have that pure perception, they will suddenly appear. is because she can be one with the chanting, the mind and the sati. Then you have this ability. It's like specific phenomenal awareness. Then there is no word. But to live life, you have to develop the perception, the cognition. Otherwise, you will make a lot of mistakes. So when you are driving or when you're walking around or living your life, you have to use your mundane mind. But most of the time you are aware. You got very little thinking. Even when you use the mundane mind, it's just aware. Finish. Then you need to reflect, you need to contemplate, you need to recall, you do it. But your mind has clarity. It's most of the time aware. That's why it's heedful. So the phase you are going through is very good. Hi Yuna.
Just, 我 come to understand Radio 讲的what is going on within 你的 form and mind.
Your own form and mind.
你会知道。
对，that one become like 很清楚 ，very clear to you. That's why when you are completely silent and aware, that understanding that calm is very different. It's not the thought telling you. It has nothing to do with Dhamma knowledge.That's why for people who go through, they will know. Then the awareness is aware of how all this movement come about is understanding, wisdom. Then you start to understand that you are not what that form and mind is. You are not what you think or what people think. This human being, so-called living being, the first aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind, it is not you. But this one has its own condition.It has a sense basis. Then it has a consciousness. It has a mind. Then a lot of things can happen when that three things come together. When the sense data come in through your senses. Then it make contact together with the mind and the sense basis. Then upon contact, what happened? These are my words describing. But when you are inside there, there is no word. Then you see the movement, the activity.Even the tactile sensation, like he said, that itchiness, there is no word. It's just that thing, the awareness of it, that sensation. It doesn't label, but we have to describe it through words to explain to you. To normal people, they will call it itchy. But when you are just aware, you can feel, you can be aware. Then you can see the movement, how it actuallycondition you. So if you are not trained, you don't have the wisdom and the understanding, this conditioning will actually condition you to have the intention to scratch and make yourself comfortable. And most human beings who are not mindful, heedless, they will just do it. It's like the thought control you. The thought condition you to do things.Then you start to understand that all along, living being has been so conditioned by their thought process, by their mundane mind. That is before you have the Dhamma, before you understand. Then you realize when you understand, you are the host, you are the true mind, that true nature, the awareness, that is aware. Then you can make the decision to scratch or not to scratch. You don't have to listen to the thought.Yeah, this one is a type of craving that pull you, that cause you to act. That's how people become heedless, deluded. So when you understand, you need not do it. Then you can endure. Endure means what? Relax into it. Maintain awareness. Then see what happens. Then you will come to realize that through the awarenessthat so-called craving or that conditioning ceases. It has no power over you. That's why you decide. Then you want to scratch, you scratch. You don't want to scratch, you can endure it, no problem. Then you move on with your life. Then you realize the awareness with the understanding is the one that live life. Means the form and mind with that understanding, wisdom connected with the Dhamma, it will know how to act. It will act according to the understanding. That's why it acts the Dhamma way. It acts according to Dhamma, which is wisdom, understanding, following Noble Eightfold Path. So acting according to wisdom or understanding is true action. And you will know. And you will know how to act. You will not act according to memories, which are your views, opinion, and conditioning. Especially conditioning, your habitual tendency. Then you start to see the user of thought is very important. The user of thought without wisdom will be deluded. The egoic mind will manifest and condition you to become heedless and cause all your suffering and misery. But the moment you can have the awareness to be aware and you have developed the understanding through the first, second turning wisdom, contemplative wisdom, then the third turning awakening, you become different. Then this wisdom connected to the form and mind will enable you to have the understanding to act. That's why this one will prompt you. At the moment of sense experience, he will prompt you. He is just the way he is. At peace already. You cannot, like last time already, then for her case, those defilements that have actually conditioned her into negativity until depression for 16 years, she saw them so clearly and understood them so clearly, then the moment they want to arise, they cannot arise because she will talk to them. You Laila, you already deceived me for so long. 16 years, enough. Cease. It cannot come again. Because you see it so clearly. These are wrong thoughts that condition you to be selfish, emotional, jealous, envy, and all these things. These are negative mind state. Wrong thought. Thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, and misery. That's why they cannot arise. They have no power over you. That's why when you develop the wisdom, you become very different. Do you understand? And this one will prompt you with the Dhamma understanding, and you will know how to act. You will not be like last time. You will not stir your mind and get angry and emotional. The egoic mind loses its power because of that wisdom. Then you know form and mind is just form and mind. No reality. He know you, he know me. So what is going on in life? This form and mind is subject to karma. That's why you have to understand the Sikkhalavada Sutta. You have your duty. You have to do them. Then you have to keep your precept. You have to act following Noble Eightfold Path. Where that is the meditation. That is the Dhamma that leads to the end of all suffering. That is fourth Noble Truth. So all this understanding will be there. Then you will know how to arise. You will know how to act. Your personality, your understanding, your virtue, all will transform for the better. That's why you become a true Bodhisattva, a true cultivator of a way. And you will become very different. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good. You will go through this phase. Then you will develop more and more understanding as you contemplate into it later. But you have to experience it first. Then only you can reflect, contemplate. Then it becomes very clear. Then it becomes very stable. Then in future, you will be able to live that life of a being that has that understanding. Then you will become different. You will transform. So sadhu, rejoice. So these are the phases you will go through. Then you become very different. It's from inside. The awareness saw all this and understand. Then only the Dhamma fall into place. Before that, forget about it. Before that is all Dhamma knowledge from your thought telling you what to do. That is not meditation. Meditation is silent inner awareness to be aware of all this movement and activity. Then from there, when you come out, reflect, contemplate, you will understand what they are without words. When it happened, there is no word too. It's just the awareness nature that is aware. That's why this awareness nature can awaken, can insight into phenomena, can realize the three universal characteristics of impermanent, anicca, dukkha, and anatta. So all this understanding will unfold by itself. That's why when you cultivate correctly, all this understanding will surface and you will become different. You will know how to live life and act in that particular way. That's why a few Kayamita can do it already. Even Ingbi also can appreciate the saying, the quote. And I realize these are the people who constantly reflect and listen to my Dhamma recording and develop very serious affirmation to do it. Otherwise, all this understanding cannot come. So this will give you faith so that you can really determine strongly with the faith to go this way. And many will be able to realize and achieve all this understanding. It's not difficult. Very good. 还有什么吗? Yeah.
还有就是, 现在我在我的日常生活里面, 很多东西, 你可能想, 肚子饿, 想去吃, 可是, 你里面就是 understand,
yeah, 很好,
你还有一个,
对,
不一定要马上去吃, yeah,
对,
就是它就是很奇怪,
对,
就是,
对,
你还有什么什么, 还是
yeah, yeah,
respect,
yeah, yeah, you will still do one, we have no hurry one,
很奇怪就是他不会停,
那个好像那个 thought, hurry you, 来追你, 那什么, 不会了的, that's why even I explained to you last night, like morning, when you wake up, your bladder there, tactile sensation, that condition you to quickly want to go to the washroom, to answer nature's call or whatever. When you have the mindfulness, the awareness, you become different. You can tell the thought, I decide, not you. Then you can take your time to be aware. Come on. Then if you have a routine that every time you pay respect to Triple Gem first before you do anything, you will still do it. A very funny one. No? No matter how urgent, you can still make it on. And mindfully, no more, you go in. Very strange. These are the experience you will go through. You will understand. It becomes very different. It's like your nature. You are the host. You decide. You can be with the awareness nature, the self nature, the true mind inside that aware. That one with the wisdom connected, it decides. Not the thought anymore. Not the Then you understand your body very well. What the body need and all those things, you understand it very well. Then when you want to like do anything that will improve on your bodily situation, you know how to relax and silent. Then you will heal. Initially you will heal very fast. But as I explained, this body is still a body, you have to understand. If let's say for my case, since 1989 until now, 30 years. It has been with this pure energy since it connect. It's like before you like become healthier, when you're young, you malnutrition, not enough, they call balanced diet and all those things. Then maybe you don't have a chance to take supplement and all those things, or boyok. Boyok in English is what? 不要, like strengthen your health one. So first time you take that 保养, or the supplement or whatever, and have a balanced diet or proper good diet, you realize your health improve a lot very fast. But after you have it already, that same thing will not have much more effect over you after some time. Do you understand? Because even that pure energy inside you for so long already, it still wants to go the way of nature. Means get sick, get old, and finally it will go the way of nature. Means if with that pure energy you can still be sick, means it has realized the stage where it will go the way of nature. means despite all those things. So the pure energy also has its limitation. But initially it's very beautiful. It can like heal you. Whatever disease you have inside, at that time, it will heal you. But don't expect this to happen all the time. Because like I explained to some of you, initially, you need to rest for 5-10 minutes. You more or less fully recover and you become very fresh again. Especially you drive long distance. Then you can drive all the way. Last time I can drive all the way to other stuff. Then later on I realized, as I age, I need half an hour. Then half an hour not enough. Now I need 2 hours. So it depends. Then sometimes you need to rest your body, you know. You go and sleep early. Then nowadays, like if I have the whatever sinus or what that affect me, or that sneezing and all those things that affect me, I will know. Then last time I rest for about half an hour or 1 hour or maximum 2 hours, I will recover. Now cannot. Now I need overnight. I need to go one complete night. That's why you see me sometimes sneeze like anything. But the next morning you see I okay already. Especially on spiritual trip. Because a lot of walking drain my energy until I'm completely drained. I don't have much reserve. So when I go for spiritual trip or tour, if a lot of walking, I know already my body is going to give me problem. That's why sometimes you see me sneeze here and there. But if I rest early that night, the next morning I will be okay again. So a lot of these things you will learn, you will go through them. But body is still a body. Where this one goes the way of nature. That's why you cannot overuse it. You know why the Buddha, relatively, he passed away at 80, whereas most of his disciples passed away at 120. It's because he, out of love and compassion for the world, for the living being, he overworked his body. Do you understand? He hardly sleep. I ask you, if you are like the Buddha, sleep less than 3 hours or 4 hours a day, for the last 45 years after his enlightenment, how long can you live? It's a miracle that he can live until 80 years old. Where he told Ananda when he was about to pass away, he told Ananda, forget about it. Where Ananda plead to him to continue, to extend his life, he said, no point. He said, foolish one. He said, this body of his is like a worn out block gun. You know what is a worn out block gun? No? Waiting to fail and to collapse. It's worn out already. It means all the parts loose already. Waiting to break on it. So he said, no point. There is no reason for him to continue. In fact, it's very true. 45 years of sharing, you know, someone or another. How long you want? For the serious one, sometimes within a week, they become enlightened. You don't need so long. Satipatthana say maximum 7 years. So he has shared for 45 years. That's why the Buddha knew. He said, the time is up. He has already made that decision. Condition is that things will be like that. So all this, it has its way. It has its condition. It has its understanding. So very good, sadhu. Hiyo. Well, all these are very good to give people faith and to share all this understanding so that in future people will have the faith and they will do it and they will also come to the understanding that everyone is different. You don't go and expect to be the same. No. Your nature is unique. Everybody's nature is unique. So if you really have the faith, sincerity, and the diligence, it will unfold in your unique way. And you will understand it differently. So her way is the same. She has her way. then even like song, they all, and many other kilometers. They themselves will know. They have become different. The way they look at things and understand things, different. PG smile. PG also went through certain phases of life experiences. Her character also changed quite a bit. Last time she very fierce. Last time she cannot listen to Dhamma. When they talk about Dhamma, you walk out. And last time I don't like China. See? But when the condition come, things unfold, you become different. And every one of you, I think, have that experience that your life has changed. You have improved so much. Even the essential Dhamma, first, second turning, if you have been constantly listening to the Dhamma, put it into practice, then make use of it, straighten your view, you become different also, in whatever unique way, or that limited way. But it has improved, changed your life for the better. At least now, you are not so heedless, true enough. And you have so much more understanding as to why you need to keep your precept. It's not somebody forcing you to keep your precept anymore. You know, precept is out of love and compassion for you. That's why you have to really protect your karmic nature. Take care of your life. If you don't keep your precept, you yourself will suffer. Your karmic nature will fall. Your life will be affected. If you still don't have that understanding, means you are not cultivating. So most Kayamita will have the understanding. That's why you were determined to keep the precept, to bring about real transformation to your life, to improve your life, at least to that extent. So listening to the Dhamma, reflect, contemplate, to straighten your view, first and second turning wisdom, is very easy and can be done by most people. The difficult one is purify your mind, to develop the meditation. But to me, it's not really difficult. True or not? Relax and aware, so difficult. Huh? It's because you haven't got it. When you got it already, it's like Dhamma, you understand and you laugh. You're so easy last time, go and do all the funny thing. Because without understanding, you will deviate, you will do all the funny type of meditation, thought based. But when you understand, you need to persevere. That's why I say, don't try to know. Relax and wait until the mind becomes very, very quiet. PG now share, very good. Sadhu.
Brazil.
Yeah.
Nowadays, at least, I don't see life as born and live a difficult life and just die.
Yeah,
there's a sense of gratitude that we are born as a human being.
Very good.
Encounter with the Dhamma.
Yeah.
And, at least we can make something out of life.
Yes. You start to appreciate life, understand or not? True or not? You start to appreciate life. Life is now so meaningful, so beautiful, so different from what it used to be. Last time, complain, unhappy, miserable, emotion here and there. Then every time something happened, be tahan now. Now different, that's all. Now you can accept the reality of the moment. Body is just a body. Even when sick, you can just laugh at it. Need to seek a cure. Go and see a doctor or see somebody who can have the understanding to help you. You will know what to do. Do what you have to. But you are still at peace. You are still happy with life. Because you can accept the reality of life and existence. Everything is just the way it is. Condition like that, things will be like that. All this understanding will make you happy, peaceful, at peace with whatever. There is no such vocabulary as a problem anymore. Problem is when you perceive it in negativity.
When you don't perceive it, negativity means what? This is a reality. Happened already. What can I do? Like accident. Blame people for what? Do what you have to do. Need to report to police, report to police. Need to claim insurance, claim. That's the reason why you buy car insurance and all those things. So, do what you have to do. Then resolve the issue amicably, following Noble Eightfold Path. Then move on with your life. That is living life. If you don't have this Dhamma and this understanding, you will behave like last time or like all these heedless people. Panic, fearful, worry. Are you? Why I so stupid? I shouldn't have drove this car. Why that guy told me to meet him at... You go and blame all these people for what? This is not a reality. Accident happened already. That's the reality. But you don't want to accept that reality. You keep on complaining, blaming. Then after a while, you say, why me? Then when people explain, then they say, are you really la, remorse? Are you, I shouldn't have done that la, it's stupid la. Why? All this is no more reality, understand? Forget about it. This is what the mundane mind is good at. Telling you all the story, getting you entangled with what? With all the wrong thought. Learn from life. Life is your greatest teacher. Everything can teach you the Dhamma. If you really have the understanding, you will understand life is our greatest teacher. If you don't learn Dhamma in life, where else can you learn? Do you understand? Because Dhamma is life. Noble Eightfold Path is life. Without Dhamma, there is no life. Because without Dhamma, you don't have the understanding. Then I don't call it life. I call it suffering, misery, hell. But with Dhamma, everything becomes so beautiful. And it's really, life is wonderful. Like the Heart Sutta. After you realize true emptiness, life becomes wonderful. 真空妙有. So these are all very beautiful. So thank you so much to Alicia and PJ. Sadhu for the good sharing. Any more now, PJ? This line must do it. Oh, that's a good one. Use the mic and say it one more time. So that people can have the faith.
This life must do it.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us rejoice. Actually, you all should determine. Yeah, this is the best window. If you miss this window, I can tell you it's going to be a long, long wait. A long haul. And don't know whether the next sasana open that time, you can still have such condition to meet out with such great beings and such Dhamma understanding. But you have the vow, don't worry. Very confident, PJ. Can. Sadhu. You are this life already determined. Must make it. So as long as you determine and do it, because the yellow card is there, Bodhisattva, and the book is also there, the Dhamma website also, everything prepared until so clear for you. You someone don't want to do it, nobody can help you. You decide your own life. You hold the key to your own life destiny. To be happy or unhappy is your own choice. So make sure you know how to choose. A lot of people fail to understand this. That's why the mundane mind condition them into negativity. That they lack understanding, they lack the Dhamma, they lack clarity. And because of that, they become heedless. But when you have the Dhamma, you have the awareness and the understanding, you will not do all those heedless and foolish things anymore. And it can really help you in not only spiritually, in your career, in your work environment, in your relationship with people, in handling things. Become very different. you become very efficient. You become like very, very meticulous and good at all these things. Because of your Dhamma understanding, that virtue, that understanding, that transformation that goes through your form and mind. Then when you live life the Dhamma way, which is the righteous way, you become so beautiful. And everything become like so easy to do, so clear. Then life becomes so meaningful. Then you will know how to live life. When you have the means, you will know how to live the good life, pamper yourself a bit, have joy. Like this year, we have already planned for you. Next year, our spiritual trip. That one is to China, Qingdao. I went through the internet. I saw very beautiful that place, and also maybe meant to be. Where according to Padmasri, he said, Mr. He promised not to make any profit from our spiritual trip. So this one will be cheaper for us. But we know how to do our part. So we tell him, don't worry. But most important thing is, he said, if you go Qingdao, he can guarantee us a very good trip. Because the partner of his, or not partner, I think, the China side one, the Taoyu, he said that is his home ground, Qingdao. He's titles for that place. So he will know how to plan for us a very good trip. So we all should thank Padmasri also. Padmasri has been liaising with him. And we just sorted out the thing yesterday. That's why she sent out that thing. Then if you want to go for leisure, we have another trip, Japan. So if you're interested, you go and check with Padmasri. But I don't know that one can take how many, I don't know. That one we still don't know. The Japan one also should be interesting. It's something like from Osaka, we land, then we take a high speed train to Kyoto, I think. Then from there we take a bus tour to visit all the other area until we end up in Tokyo and take the flight back. We will go through a few of the beautiful scenic places, including Mount Fuji. We will pass by Hakone also. I've been to Mount Fuji before. Hakone is a very nice resort area, hot spring and all those things. It's a very beautiful mountain. Still active, I think. But the weather is very good, that time I went. Then I like the nature there. The nature there is beautiful. The energy there is very good. In fact, the whole of Japan, the nature is very good. Very good. I don't know why, maybe the mountain formation there, then that sea, the mass of sea water, the vibration, or the nature's vibration, it's very good. There was also another trip, I think, Alicia, they all planned with Freddy's brother, they all. Then my wife and me, we were fortunate. They invite us to join them. Hokkaido. Very good trip. I really like that trip. Very well organized. Thank you. And that trip, Alicia planned everything. Last time, he very pointy, I cannot do all this thing. Then suddenly after he know the Dhamma, the brother, sister, and even Freddy side, they also very surprised. Oh, he can do all this. And then everything like come out very beautiful, like meant to be and all those things. And it can be done. That's why I told Padmasri, you will lay us with her and see how we can plan it. Last time that trip, how come so cheap, the Hokkaido one? You know, we self-drive, no wonder it was so cheap. Oh, 3,000 plus only, you know. Also about 8 days. Because we drive ourselves. But this one better take the bus. Let their driver drive. Then let her go and arrange. I heard the alarm, so we better end. Okay, thank you so much. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So tonight at least we have very good sharing. So I rejoice too. So let us share merits and transfer merits. Then you make your aspiration. Starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa jirang rakan tu loka sasana itawata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati sidya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo deo satu kalena sasa sampati hito cha fito bawato loko cha raja bawato damiko Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patia sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to all the worthy ones. Then we end. Thank you.